Our reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting in verse 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Whether you're joining us in person or online, welcome to Holy Week at Park City's Presbyterian Church. This is perhaps our favorite week of the year as a church family, and we're so glad that you've joined us. The gospel writers slow down during this week in Jesus' life, and so do we. They focus their attention on Christ's death and resurrection, and so do we. They long for people to grasp the significance of these historical events, and so do we. And so we're praying for us, for our family and friends, for people who don't yet know Jesus, that he would do a great work in our lives this week. This year, as you probably know, we'll see Holy Week through the eyes of a number of characters in the story, because we want to see what they see, but also what they don't see, so that we can see what we see and what we don't see as we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John Stott once said, "The cross is the blazing fire at which the flame of our love is kindled, but we have to get near enough for its sparks to fall on us." So friends, wherever you are this week, we invite you to draw near to the cross. Come in out of the cold and come around the blazing fire of his love. And we pray that he would give us grace to draw near enough that the sparks fall on us. As we dive into this familiar passage, I just want to pose one question. Have we ever been asleep when we were supposed to be awake? Actually one of my deep fears, and I come by it honestly. When I was a freshman in high school, I was playing basketball, and my team was on a bus on the way to Rockwall to play a game, and I happened to fall asleep on the bus. I woke up with a sense of some sweetness in my mouth, and my coach standing in the aisle next to us saying, "Guys, what's going on here?" And as my senses came back online, I realized my mouth was full of chocolate. So through the chocolate, I said, "Ask him." So while I slept, my so-called friend had been stuffing Rolos into my mouth to see how many he could fit. So that day, my friend learned not to do that, as he had to sit out the whole first half of the game, and I learned not to fall asleep in public places. This is a terrible feeling to be asleep when we're supposed to be awake, but that's really what our passage is about today. So much has happened in our passage since Jesus' triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. Imagine the whirlwind of a week that the disciples have had. And on this night in Matthew 26, they've already gathered for the Passover. Jesus has predicted his betrayal. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. And now they've come to this familiar place where they'd gathered before, the Garden of Gethsemane. Just imagine 3 years with Jesus, all that's happened. The disciples have to be exhausted. In verse 43, we read that their eyes were heavy. And with a storm looming on the horizon for Jesus, I don't think they fully grasp it, but they sense something is coming. They're sorrowful. In the same episode in Luke 22, 45, we read they were sleeping for sorrow. So the disciples have sleepy eyes because they're exhausted and sorrowful, two realities that we know all too well. When's the last time you heard someone say, I just feel so rested and energetic? We're exhausted. And whom do you know who hasn't been touched by deep sorrow? We all have sorrow. And exhaustion and sorrow lead us to fall asleep or to be sluggish when we're supposed to be awake. And I don't just mean physical sleep. Some people are completely asleep, unaware of who God is and what he's doing. Holy Week comes year after year. The good news is preached week after week, and they are asleep to it all. And some of us have been awakened by the Holy Spirit, but we're still prone to fall asleep when life gets busy or hard, when disappointment or suffering comes. In these moments, we're tempted not to lean in, but to check out, to doze off. We're like the spouse that loses the wonder of being married. We can fall asleep in the most important relationships. We're like the soldier who falls asleep at his post. We can fall asleep in the most important assignments. We're like the lighthouse keeper who dozes off in the midst of the storm. And so our falling asleep can have disastrous consequences. All too often when we're asleep when we ought to be awake, my heart breaks that this is who I am. So what do we see through the sleepy eyes of the disciples? First, we see that our willpower fails us. Our willpower fails us. Just before this passage in Matthew 26, 31, Jesus tells his disciples, you will all fall away because of me this night. So Peter replies, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Then Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And Peter says, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. See the confidence he has in his willpower? And the text says all the disciples said the same. Then the scene shifts to the Garden of Gethsemane where we are. Gethsemane literally means oil press. It's a garden, it's an olive grove, it's an oil press. In this garden, Jesus and his disciples are both pressed, but they respond very differently. In this moment of anguish for Jesus, he anticipates the suffering that he will face the next day on Good Friday. So it makes sense that he wants his friends to pray with him. It's a very human moment. He has eight of them stay in one place. Then he invites three, Peter, James, and John, to go a little farther, to come with him. And he tells them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Just a simple request. Watch with me. Pray with me. And then Jesus goes a little farther by himself, falls on his face, and begins to cry out to his father. And the text says he pleads with his father three times, and in between the praying, he comes back to his disciples, I suppose maybe looking for comfort, only to find them asleep. And it's not just the other eight disciples who are sleeping, it's the inner circle, the three, his closest friends. So in verse 40, Jesus addresses Peter, who made the boldest promises, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? You see, even the strongest among us have failed the Lord. The Lord wants to be with us. He wants to do something for us. He asks something of us, but exhaustion and sorrow get the best of us. And we, like the disciples, miss the wonder of what God is doing right before our eyes because we're asleep. So through the disciples' sleepy eyes, we see our own failure to stay awake. That, you could say, is the bad news. But here's the good news. We also see Jesus' resolve to save us. While we're sleeping, Jesus is fully awake. He's watching and praying, pleading with the Father. He's wrestling against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He's winning a battle in this garden that we lost in an ancient garden at the beginning. While we're sleeping, Jesus is pondering being separated from his Father for the first time since eternity past. He's sweating drops of blood. He's praying, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Think about Jesus being fully human. he has to be more exhausted and sorrowful than his disciples, but while they're sleeping, he's awake and fully engaged. He will not sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. He will not sleep all night as he's accused and abused and condemned to die. And he will not sleep all day on Friday as he's handed over to be crucified, to carry his own cross, to allow soldiers to drive nails through his wrists and his feet, to have to push up on those nails just to take a breath, to feel the weight of his people's sins bearing down on him until he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our Lord Jesus will not sleep until he breathes his last and is laid to rest in a tomb. He will not sleep because he came to save people like us who fall asleep when they're supposed to be awake. So friends, are you asleep when you're supposed to be awake? Hear Jesus' word to his disciples today. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Come and be with Jesus this week. Watch and pray with him. If life is noisy, come a little farther. Come away from the crowds. Hear his word. Listen for his heart. Your spirit may be willing, but your flesh is weak. So if you feel drowsy, ask him to strengthen you. But realize our hope is not in our power to stay awake. Our hope is in the one who would not sleep until he could say, it is finished. And our hope is in the one who will not sleep on Sunday morning when it's time to wake up and conquer sin and death and hell. Let's take a moment now for silent prayer and reflection. Ask the Lord to show you where you're asleep and ask him by the power of his spirit to awaken you.